Mike, you're the president. I understand that.
Yeah, that's correct. I've been here for 3 years.
Tell me a little bit about when people say, or you tell people you're president of Skylift, what do they ask you? What do you tell them about the company?
Well, most of the time they really don't have any idea what our equipment is because it's kind of unique. So, you know, we have to describe really what is, you know, what's the equipment, what is it used for? And, you know, we service the electric utility industry, the infrastructure, the grid, if you will. So our machines are unique in the fact that if you want to go into a backyard, you can't take a big bucket truck. You know, they weigh a lot of tons and destroy yards. Our machines will go through a 36-inch gate, shrink down, and then open up when they get inside, put some legs out, and you can put a man in a bucket, dig a hole in the ground, put poles in the ground. So our equipment's pretty unique. And there's, you know, we have about three competitors. Our business is booming, frankly, because you hear a lot about infrastructure. Congress right now is arguing about how they're going to spend money on infrastructure. And the electric infrastructure grid needs to be updated. So if you look at, you know, you can look at our website at skyliftus.com, you can see all the various different kinds of machines, from little mini backyard digger derricks to machines that you can, we have some companies that use our machines in West Virginia and they're driving up the side of mountains and really some crazy situations to try to use our equipment.
Wow, so you kind of know there's really no place that your equipment can't go, it seems, for that.
Pretty much.
And we have also with us Andrew Jarmuszek?
Jarmuszek.
Thank you. With Skylift as well. I mean, that's amazing that the equipment can do all that sort of things, and yet it's one of those things where, I guess, how do you, I guess, market yourself? How do people find out about your
company? I mean, it's a unique product, so not everybody can use it. Of the 4,500 utilities in the U.S., half can utilize this type of equipment. So really, it's trying to find the people that are in the market. If you don't have that need, then, you know, there's, you know, people are very upfront and say, you know what, I contract that kind of work out. So that means that I then got to, you know, not go to the municipal or the investor-owned utility. I got to make sure I know who's the contractor that they're using is in order to tell them, you know, we have availability. This is what our machines do. I understand you're working on a contract. Let's see if, you know, who has the equipment that you need and get it in your hands.
Over time, have you had feedback from different customers to say, maybe if you could tweak this or do that? How does that come in? What's that relationship like?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, every one of our improvements that we've done on the machines throughout the year has been based on recommendations we've gotten from customers and the actual linemen that are working on the machines. Our new boom design, which it really isn't that new, but we've had it for almost 8 years now. It was the Low Pro. We were down in Florida, and we had a customer that said, look, we love your machine, but it's just a little bit too tall. What can you do to make it shorter? Because, you know, this is south. You know, we have carports that you got to get under. So our winch line used to be mounted on the top of the boom. We chopped it off, stuck it on the back. That lowered our traveling height by 10 inches. By doing so, we're able to get that contract. But what's even more impressive was the fact that because we are the manufacturer, we were able to design it, manufacture it, test it, and get it back to that customer in Florida in under 2 weeks.
Wow, that's quite a turnaround for something like that. Usually you think with some company there's a lot of types that it goes to, so you're willing then to look at something and say it's not perfect or it can be improved. I guess that's the key to a
Correct.
Lot of things like that.
And that's one of the advantages. We're a family-owned business. We're not a big corporation, so we think we're pretty agile, nimble, so we can move pretty quick and react to customer needs, and that's what we're really about.
So are all those pieces of equipment that I see out back that you're going to display for the people in manufacturing day here, are they made here? Everything's assembled here? Or is there different parts and places?
Well, we have some pieces of equipment where, you know, 90% is manufactured in-house and 95, you know, plus percent in the United States. Then we have other pieces that are, you know, coming from Waco, Texas. others coming from West Virginia. So most everything is manufactured here in the United States, but some parts we just don't make, like the carriers, the big ride-on pieces, Marukas, you know, well, that's not anything we could tackle right at this time.
The other thing that we try to pride ourselves in is we like to locally source things. So if we got a choice of buying something in Ohio or Lorain County, we're going to go Lorain County every time. And we only source U.S. steel. We don't buy foreign steel. We try to have our content in these machines be pretty much U.S. made. Now, obviously, there's some components in here that are due to their technical nature. We have to get them from Germany. And some of our radios, top-of-the-line radios, come actually from Sweden. But most of our equipment here, we try to source everything local. And, you know, that kind of helped us a little bit with COVID and what's going on in the supply chain right now, because our biggest, you know, risks to growth here are A, finding people with COVID going on. And, you know, we partnered with JVS. We get a lot of our welders right from JVS, and they come straight from JVS here. We're partnering with Lorain Community College. We're working a lot with Dave Gallo and Tom Brown and the people with the Lorain Port Authority. So we're using a lot of resources here to try to increase our footprint with people. And then, you know, a lot of it's capital equipment. We're just going to be putting in a laser table here. Well, that's sourced in the U.S. too. And that's a fairly expensive piece of equipment. And, you know, our other biggest risk then, you know, going forward is how we manage the supply chain. And the supply chain is a little bit more difficult of a kind of scenario, because we're starting to get a little delays in that and having to work with a lot of our vendors. And we have the same kind of methodology with how we like to deal with people, because we're a family-run business. We like dealing with family-run distributors and family-run vendors because they get our culture, you know.
You mentioned laser table. What do you do with the laser table?
Well, most of our parts that are on this machine are made of pretty thick steel. They're cutout parts. Picture one of those toys you get where you kind of break it off and you got pieces that you got to assemble. Well, that's kind of what a laser table does, except the only difference is the laser table is, you know, about $1.1 million, and will cut through half-inch plate steel like a knife through butter. The difference is that machine will cut these things almost, I mean, it's medical-grade cuts, so you don't have, you know, you can improve efficiency because you don't have a lot of edges left on it. It's cut very finely, and it's pretty darn quick, really quick.
How exciting is it to operate some of this equipment here? Have you had a chance, Andrew? I mean, I don't know.
Bruce wants to get up on one of those. Come
well,
on, just put it out
and
there.
I've seen that, you know, I'm familiar with a post hole digger. Someone puts a post in the ground. You have ones that I guess use for, like, towers and things like that nature, too.
Yeah, so I've been around the company for 11-plus years, and I, you know, started out having a CDL, pulling these around cross-country, doing deliveries, doing in-service trainings, doing demos, and you know, I believe that I've been into every state in the continental U.S. except for six now, and I have actually dug a hole in all of those states
That's quite an accomplishment. I don't know how many people have done
that's a
something.
First for the morning show,
exactly.
Right there.
That's crazy. What's in those holes? That's a whole other question for a different show, I suppose, after that. But that, you know, being able to sort of know what the equipment does also helps you in your job that you're doing now, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we have three main lines, and then after that, it's a variation of each one of those to give you, I believe, 9+ types of machinery. You have your mini derrick line, which allows you to get through your 36-inch gate into backyards to dig holes and set poles. That comes with an auger and a removable bucket. So then you could do all of your hookups from your old pole to your new one. Then you have your arborist line, which is a double-insulated boom. And a lot of the tree trimming companies do the line clearing. They'll contract with First Energy or whoever you're paying your power bill to. And that is for preventative maintenance. So when we have the storms, that makes sure that the limbs don't fall down on the lines as much. So every so often, depending on the area of the country, it's 5 years or 7 years, they come in and clear everything back to a minimum of 48 inches, I believe. And they just keep on going. So in order to do that, you need the double insulated buckets. Okay. From there, we have our larger track vehicle, which is going to be the largest track vehicle that you can get that won't require a tractor and a low boy to pull it. So behind any one of your line trucks, you're going to be able to use that. And more rural communities will end up using that type of equipment. So, you know, any co-ops that you're paying your power to, a power bill to, and then also a handful of the investor-owned utilities as well that have the rural communities.
One of the things that I've seen here is related to sustainability, about coming up with sort of the, as it says, first battery-powered backyard machine. How important is that? And that's kind of just sort of a new area.
It really is. And a lot of these companies have these green initiatives where they have set certain, deadlines, just like the auto industry for, you know, engines and emissions. They're saying by 2030, 2050, you know, they want to have 50% of their fleet on alternative renewable energy sources. Others are saying, nope, by 2030, we want 100% of our fleet. This isn't, there have been a lot of companies that have come out with this in the past. The technology was, you know, not up to date as it is now. So when I do the demos on this equipment, you know, I hear a lot of the, is this going to be like the first generation? It's absolutely not. This is, imagine the Skylift quality with the latest technology on there. And every single one of these people that is, you know, questioning its capability, they do a complete 180 within an hour of working on that unit.
Another thing that's important on these machines that we discovered is after we put the machines together, we were thinking that normally this is going to be more of a green initiative type thing. Most of these machines that are now hybrid are way safer. And the reason they're safer is they're quiet. Because normally when you're running one of these machines, you're running a diesel motor at pretty high RPM, so you have line people screaming at one another directions. With our new green machines, they're quiet. You have people talking in normal tones. The line people absolutely love it. And our goal going down the road here is that this is going to get sold into the people with the health and safety part of the equation in utilities, right? Because it's just safer.
Well, it's a byproduct, a positive byproduct.
Right.
Sometimes
exactly.
There's always like unintended consequences of something. This is obviously a positive thing that comes out of that too. It's great. We appreciate you both stopping in. I know. Well, we appreciate you hosting us here for Skylift as part of Manufacturing Day. We've got more coming up. I was going to say next hour, but we're already into our 8 o'clock hour as well, with lots going on. So we'll take a news break, and then we'll also preview our Lorraine Shaker Heights game tonight, and we'll have more from Skylift here in Lorraine as part of Manufacturing Day on WEOL.